The following is a digital recording of an interview of Michael Foyer, Tuesday, June 21st, 2011, 10:15 a.m. Eastern Time, by Bob St. Lawrence, co-host of the radio show Kelly in the Morning, broadcast on KVYN-FM and KVON-AM. In Napa Valley, California, and in San Francisco.
Free the Vine. Good morning, it's Bob St. Laurent. Sit in for Kelly. It is time to check in with Michael Foyer. He is the author of the book, The Benevolent Dictator, Empower Your Employees, Build Your Business, and Outwit the Competition. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Bob. Thank you for having me on the show. Yes, I started that in 1988 with $20,000 of my own money and one store, and got to $5 billion and about over 1,000 stores, and ran it for 16 years before selling the company.
Wow. Okay, so you're pretty good at it. I would say you come from...
I'm very lucky, one or the other.
Or both.
Or both, probably that's correct. Well, I think one of the obligations of people that have done things well is to perpetuate that effectiveness by sharing with others. It doesn't work for everybody, but I've seen so much and done so much in a short period of time, and basically I have cut through all the nonsense. I'm not a theoretical anything. I'm a doer. And I think most people make business so much more complicated than it need be. And the real trick is look at the business through the eyes of the customer and simply give them what they want at the price they want to pay.
And that's not a new concept. It just seems to be one that's been lost in the last
year. Yeah, I think one of the unfortunate things, sometimes businesses try to outsmart the customer, and there's no one smarter than the customer. Not really, and I think, let me break this down for the listeners. First of all, the benevolent is the key operative word, and benevolent really means, and it's the darndest thing, when I started Office Max and my new company, Max Wellness Now, the more I did for my constituents, the more I got at the end. And really, the benevolent part is putting before your own interests that of your customers, your employees, and your stakeholders. When you do that, then you can look at everything in a broad picture and make the right decisions. The dictator portion of the equation is very simply that it is very difficult. You put three people in a phone book, in a phone booth, excuse me, it is very difficult to get a consensus. And the consensus might be, let's get out of the phone booth. But the truth is, in a business, when you're building it, many, many people have different points of view and different perspectives. The dictator portion is at some time the time for talking is done and you need to move forward. Otherwise, you'll wind up in analysis paralysis. The problem in this marketplace today, everything is measured in minutes, hours, and days, not weeks, months, and years. And that's in large part to shows like yours, to the internet, and the mass communications. Things have to move from mind to market much faster than ever before, and sometimes that takes a dictator when they come to the fork in the road to decide which way to go.
Well, that's the boss.
That's, I think that's what they call them, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So let's go through a few bullet points. If you don't ask, you won't get.
Yeah, the most astounding thing to me, Bob, is how many times I have been able to ask people for things, and some outrageous, and I'll give you a couple of examples. I was born with a severe birth defect, poverty. It really annoyed me. And when I went to start Office Max, I didn't have very much money, so I'd go to landlords and I'd say, did you ever hear of a Walmart and Sam Walton? And they would say, are you crazy? Yeah, of course I've heard of them. And I said, well, I'm the next Sam Walton, and I would explain what I was going to do. And then I would get them all excited, and I say, there's one minor problem. I don't have any money, so here's what I want to do. I want you to give me free rent as a landlord for a year or 6 months, help me build the store. But when you do that, then I'll sign a long-term lease with you, and I'll go in your other shopping center as well. The word no really is a synonym for maybe. In my view in business is if you ask someone for something and they say no, first look at yourself because you probably didn't explain it correctly, and that no is really a maybe, and just keep saying it until the 10th time and they slam the door, then you know it's a no, then you can leave. Right, right. It's amazing, though, how many times that will work in your favor. I think sometimes I've persuaded people to do things out of sheer perseverance. They wanted to get rid of me, so they said yes. That works, too.
Hey, whatever works.
Right.
So you really did that with the Office Max. You got them to give you free rent for a year, and
yes.
I'll give you a long-term lease, and it worked out.
Yeah, and I just did it again with my new company, Max Wellness, which is a health and wellness retail chain. So it's if you don't ask, you don't get. Most people are so afraid to ask simple questions. One, because maybe they think the other person won't think you're smart enough. And number two, they think it's such an outrageous question. And the thing to realize when you're starting a business, the worst thing that can happen is you won't get it, then you go on to somebody else.
Right. Well, I've always thought we own the no, so there's no fear of the no. Right?
Exactly, exactly. Yeah, I think, as I said earlier, what people tend to do in new businesses, they fall in love with their plan instead of falling in love with the end result or who they're going to serve. So the trick is the world doesn't need another business. What people need, and if you're starting a business or anything, and this applies to life, what can you do differently, better than the other guy? And then it's positioning, position yourself differently. And that's all about listening to the customer. I call it low-hanging fruit. Give you a quick example. At Office Max, I used to go to the first store every single night, and I'd walk around sort of undercover like Inspector Clouseau from the old movies, and I'd watch customers. And I used to watch customers come in, and they'd take these shopping carts, they'd fill them up, and they would leave. And I said, wait a minute, this doesn't make any sense. We made the shopping cart 20% bigger. Sales went up immediately 20%. Customer eyes, and you look at what are the little obstacles, and obstacles are really disguises of opportunities.
I like that. What a positive swing on it all. So you literally made your carts 20% larger, and it went up.
That's right. It was much like eating dinner when you're a kid. You get up when the plate's full. If you're filling a shopping cart, you leave when it's full. So it's the same thing. Right. And what that really means, Bob, is we all spend so much time working and doing things that what is the saddest thing? Someone does something and they hate it, they hate it, they hate it, they can't wait till they retire, and they've wasted a lot of their life. So do you work to live or live to work? And that's really the question. And the answer is it depends on what stage in life you are. But you sure as heck better have a good time because the victory is very short-lived. So getting there is 90% of the fun. And the challenge can be very exciting if you approach it correctly. I love problems, as perverse as it sounds, because that gives you an opportunity to solve them. And that's the most gratifying thing in business. And if it were so easy, everyone would do it, and everyone would be rich, and it's not. So you have a better opportunity if it's perseverance.
It's perseverance, yeah, and the willingness to want to work.
Yeah, it takes a commitment in energy. Today it's a little bit easier because of technology, but you almost got to be on. I describe starting a business as the opportunity to go on the world's scariest roller coaster 24/7, 365 days a week. Mm-hmm.
Favorite thing is 6 a.m., they were my floors.
That's exactly right, and it's a task. You get the satisfaction of being complete when you do it, and you did a good job.
Right, and that's it, loving it. Okay, now this one's a little bit freaky. Let mother do the hiring. Can you swing on that?
Well, we've all probably in our lives, and mother's really a synonym for anyone that you trust, but
right.
Your mom would tell you, hey, Bob, don't hang out with those guys. You're going to get in trouble. They're not good people, whatever. When you're talking to someone in an interview and you're discussing something, if you keep your mother in the back of your head and your gut tells you this doesn't seem right, The truth is, listen to your mother, and if it doesn't seem right, it probably is not right. The other part of that is don't ever do anything you wouldn't want your mother to know, because it's almost guaranteed to be wrong. And ask yourself, would you like this on the front page of the San Francisco Chronicle if you did something? And if the answer is no, don't do it.
But don't do it. I like that. No, always have your mom in the back of your head. Okay, don't drink your own bath water.
That's a tough one, a little rough around the edges. But what that means is don't fall in love with the stuff you're thinking. Make sure you can test it and that it works. Too many entrepreneurs start a business and they just absolutely fall in love with what they're doing and they think the world's waiting for them. The problem is they never tested it to see if the world really cares. And you have to be a skeptic in business to be very successful. The best successful CEOs that I know all suffer from F of F, fear of failure. And that makes you a little bit skeptical. So it's trust but verify.
Right. So don't get stuck on the idea. Always be ready to have a new one.
Yeah, and also be ready to remember what your end result is. No one cared that you wrote a business plan. They care you deliver the finished product and it works.
Right. Makes total sense. Okay, so know when it's time to pull the plug.
Yeah, that's an interesting one, because what it means is if you're a baseball player and really great and you get 3 out of 10 hits, you'll probably make $10 million or more a year. In business, you can't use those odds, but those statistics. But the reality is not everything you undertake is going to be a home run. So you need to know as you go down that path when enough is enough and when you got to pull the plug. Pulling the plug might be getting rid of a bad employee. It might be changing your business plan, or it might be bagging the company and starting something else, or going getting a job at wherever you can get a job. That's part of reality of life. Too many people go down with the ship, and that sounds very noble, but it's not a very practical way to stay in business.
Right. I like that. No, even if you got to pull the plug, go get another job.
Yeah, keep going. It's not the end of the world.
Right. Okay, let's hit one more point. Know how to put lightning back in the bottle again and again.
Yeah, I think one of the toughest things in business, and I've been doing this for many years, is everything has a beginning. It's like a love story. There's a beginning, a middle, and an end. In a process, and I use Office Max as the example, I get to a point where it wasn't quite as much fun, and I thought I was at the top of my game. And Office Max is what I did, not who I was. So I decided one day I'm going to sell the company, and I sold it for $5 billion. Sold the company, but I loved the game and the chase, and I started another company. And then I started another company. Started writing a magazine column, syndicated, now I write books. Lightning back in the bottle. If you can't entertain yourself, you'll never entertain your customer.
Right. As well as now you're going to have the new biggest Max Wellness, which will be our new bigger store to get all of our protein products.
Right. It's everything for head-to-toe wellness for every age at every stage of life. People have never seen anything like it before, simply because there's never been anything like it before. Healthcare costs in this country are skyrocketing, and the reality is the best way to lower healthcare costs is prevention. Don't get sick in the first place, and there are many things people can do about that.
Right, just take care of ourselves. Okay, well, the book is The Benevolent Dictator, Empower Your Employees, Build Your Businesses, and Out with the Competition. How can we get your book? Is there a website?
You can go to thebenevolentdictator.biz. You can go to Amazon. You can go to virtually any bookstore in the United States or Canada, every airport, any place where good books are sold. The publisher is Wiley, a top-notch publisher, and the book's only been out a week. Readers can use it as a quick read and then a Bible for day-to-day activity. When you hit an obstacle, pick it up and use it. Thank you, Bob. I enjoyed it very much. Thanks to your listeners.
All right. Have a great day.
You too.